Good morning, Victory Church. How's everybody doing? Boy, Mike's got a lot of energy. He went through those announcements like a freight train. Didn't he do a great job? That was really, really good. Well, if you need notes, there are sermon notes in your worship guide. But if you need extra ones, raise your hand. The ushers have some extras. They'd love to give you one. It kind of helps to follow along the message and something you can take home with you and look at it during the week and hopefully get more benefit out of the message. Well, we just wrapped up yesterday 21 days of prayer and fasting, which we do as a church every year. We've been doing it for a while in January. And man, we had an awesome prayer meeting yesterday morning, and it was great. The attendance was going up every week. We had a good turnout, and we are hooking up with a live feed from one of our sister churches in the Ark Association in Birmingham and praying with them. And we loved it so much, Pastor Mike has decided to take that and run with it. We're going to keep doing it every Saturday. So if you weren't able to make those, and everybody, the attendance kept going up because it's exciting to pray with hundreds of other ARC churches at the same time all over the world. And it's really, so if you missed out, you still have an opportunity. So it'll be every Saturday right here, 10 a.m. We'll be hooking up live with a sister church in Birmingham. And it's just, it's a great way. We get the live music from the awesome music group, and we're going to pray together. So that's really exciting, and I'm excited about our small group starting up. My class is the Great Bible Doctrines, because you all asked for more Bible study type groups, so I'll be doing it right here on Thursday nights. I do have a sign up in the lobby because I'd like to get a head count for materials. So if you're interested in that, we're going to be studying the core doctrines of Christianity. If you're a new Christian, it's going to be great. If you've been a Christian 50 years, it's going to be even better. I'll just gear it to everybody that's there. We might even take some questions on doctrines that you're interested in. So I'll gear it to the people that are coming. All right. Well, listen, this is part three in a series that I called Fresh Start, A Fresh Start. And in the first part of the part one, we talked about in order to have a better 2017, you have to be a good forgetter. You're going to have to forget some things from the past. And we looked into that, how Paul said, I forget what lies behind in order could I lay hold of, because whether it's good or bad, you can get stuck in the past. If it's bad, it can drag you down. If it's good, you can think your best years were behind you. And neither one of those are desirable. We want to be pressing forward. So that was part one. Those are on the website if you missed them. Part two, last week we talked about the difference between successful and unsuccessful people. We used a American Journal of Science study, six attributes of successful people and six of unsuccessful people. And one of the things that we focused on was the need to change and being willing to change on the inside. And as a church, we're willing to change. You know, I shared last week 51% of churches in America in decline, and I believe it's because they're not willing to change and stay current with the environment, with the people, you know, the culture, and just staying relevant. It happens, you know. It will die. It will be a relic of the movement of God in the past. And we don't want to be that as a church either. And we're doing some new things this year. We've been always trying to have an attitude of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, God led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. And when the cloud moved, they had to move. You see? They couldn't just stay. They had to. Now that was easy because there it was, that cloud. With us, the Holy Spirit leads us the same way. When the cloud moves, we need to move with the cloud. As a church, we need to be able to sensing what is God doing? What is God saying? We've changed. Small groups are a little different this time. We're changing to adapt to what we asked you, what's missing, and we tried to meet those needs. An interesting thing happened at the beginning of the year. I was praying what God had for us as a church, and he spoke four things to me that we've talked about in pastors' meeting, and one of them was we need to restart our college ministry. And, you know, we talked about it. How do we do that? And a couple, look at how God works. A couple of days later, I get an email from Michael Crame saying, God laid it on my heart to restart the college ministry. I mean, is God awesome or what? And so Prayer changes things. The 21 days of prayer, it's powerful. And we're in the midst of that and talking and meeting how, and we've got a plan. We're going to set in motion, restart our college ministry. And we have a camp out on the land coming March 17th. We are redoing our youth group, looking at it, try to make it more relevant to the youth of the church. Next year, here's a news flash. You haven't heard this before because we just worked it out. We're going to be doing 6 deeper services this year. On Sunday nights, we're going to start next month in February, and we're going to have February, March, April. Don't hold me to the dates. We're still working those out. And then August, September, October. And what a deeper service is, we're going to have an extended time of worship, and we're going to pray for healing. We're going to call upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us and pray for people to be healed, and we're going to have prophetic ministry, prophetic words. We're going to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be on a Sunday evening. And these are awesome services. So we're going to have 6 of those this year. And I've got some exciting stuff coming up because we want to be moving with the cloud. Amen. So part 3 now, those were part 1 and part 2, is the title of my message is, I Won't Stop. Last week we talked about being willing to change. But I was thinking about it this week, and God laid it on my heart. You can't change everything. You have to figure out what's supposed to change. There are things that you should never change. There are things, God just put on my heart, things that I have to declare in my life that I won't stop doing this or I won't stop doing that. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. You'll see where I get this. Now, we read the previous verses last week about Paul saying, that I may know him. I want to press in to know him. I'm forgetting what lies behind. I press on. Now pick it up in verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's where he left off. Now look at the next 2 verses. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, the word really is mature. Most translations say mature. The alternate in my Bible, it says mature. It's because of the tense of the verb and the usage. Let's just say mature. As many as are mature, because we know none of us are perfect, right? Have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, so that's one of the things that needs to change. My attitude needs to change. I can always work on my attitude. How about you? Dealing with people and dealing with frustrations and dealing with even God not answering my prayer on time, we can develop an attitude. And that's one of the things that we need to change. And we talked about last week that science says 3 out of 4 people hate change and 1 out of 4 people love change. The only thing is that you would think that the 1 out of 4 that love change, they'd be the most spiritual because they're always changing. But the tendency in all of us is not to change ourselves, it's to change others. So that is one of the pitfalls of being 1 of the 4 that loves change. The thing we'll talk about, there's some things that have built up in your life, there's strengths that don't need to change. You never want to change them. So that's a danger of if you're that type of a personality, you like change, that sometimes God has inculcated some kind of good habit in your life, and then you keep changing those good habits. And you need to there's some you need to hang on to. But all of our tendency is, when we talk about change, is thinking I've got to change stuff outside rather than changing stuff inside. So I want to talk about how to establish some things that never change on the inside. As many as are mature, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. So be careful not to change standards that God has built up, habits, good habits that God has put. Don't change those. Some things have to remain and some things have to change, and the challenge is figuring out which is which. I love that prayer. We've seen a lot, they call the tranquility prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's the hard part. The wisdom, and that's my prayer for you today and in 2017 for us as a church, we'll have the wisdom to know what things I should never change that I should hold on to and then just keep building on, and what things need to change in my life. Now, I know I need to change, and I also know that I don't like to change, and I know I'm not perfect. How many in the same boat with me? Not perfect, all right? I also know that a big part of the Christian life is not giving up and not quitting, because that's where the devil comes in, tries to get us to quit. There are times you just have to stand. We continue that passage on, pick it up in Philippians chapter 4. It's the same discourse. In verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. There are things that I will not stop doing. I'll not stop believing. How about you? There's a lot of temptations to stop believing. I'll not stop trusting God. No matter what it looks like, if I've been believing for something and the answer doesn't come when I want, things happen that I don't expect, I will not, I've determined in my, I will not stop trusting my Heavenly Father that He's a good God. I will not stop. I'll not stop believing. I'll not stop trusting. I'm not going to stop praying. How about you? I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop fasting. We had 21 days of prayer and fasting. I've had this habit in my life for decades to take one day a week. I'm not going to stop. Just fast. I think it's a good habit to get into. I'm not going to stop hoping. Now, the devil would like to steal our hope. Don't give up the things that your standards that God has put. If you've got a certain level of hope, don't change that, okay? There's things that need to change, and there's things that need to hang on to that you say, I will not stop hoping for good things in my life. I'll not stop confessing the word. I will not stop expecting good things to happen. I'm not going to stop praising Him. Like Paul, when he was put in the jail, looked like he was going to die. At midnight, he was praising God, and the prison doors opened up. The praises shook the doors open. I'm not going to stop praising God. I'm not going to stop loving people. I'm not going to stop forgiving. As long as we're on the planet, we're going to have to forgive. I'm not going to stop sharing the gospel no matter what. I'm going to keep sharing with people. I'm not going to stop learning. I'm not going to stop doing things for God. I'm not going to stop pressing in. I'm not going to stop walking the walk. I'm not going to stop getting closer to God. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. I'm not going to stop knowing Him. I won't stop. I won't stop. I won't stop. How many have some things in your life you say, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. That devil will try to get you to quit some of the good, maybe some things that happened during the 21 days that you started. Don't stop. Be a day 22 person. Just continue on. Here's your first fill in the blank. There are some things I need to change, and there are some things I won't stop. I wanted you to write that down, maybe take that home this week and look at that, and pray and say, God, what are some things that I need to draw a line in the sand, make a mark in my life, and just say, there are some things that I will not stop. Maybe you've started some good habits this year, and just say, I'm not going to stop. There's some things that I will not stop. One thing I won't stop doing is making declarations. Yeah. Speaking the word of God. I can't express to you how important this is and how underrated this is in the kingdom of God and in the earth. Speaking God's word out of our mouth. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. It has a supernatural power to change us and to push back the powers of darkness. Look at this in Joshua chapter 1. And let's pick it up in verse 6. Again, we looked at this last week. We're going to emphasize one part of it here. God's instructions to his man, Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man, right? Moses dies, and God speaks to Joshua and tells him how to have success. Now watch this. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law, look at this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You think that's changed? The key to success for this man's life, this book of the law shall not depart. I just want to say this to every one of us here. The key to your success and my success in 2017 is going to be getting the right scriptures in our mouth that apply to where we're at in life, our situation, and what we need to overcome. And let me tell you, if you're not familiar with the Bible, you don't know it, any of the pastors will help you. We have sheets with scriptures that apply to certain subjects. There's whatever you're facing, there are scriptures that apply to that situation, and we need to get that. It is a weapon. It's a weapon. The Bible talks about the Word of God being a sword. It also gives a picture of Jesus when he comes back on a white horse. It said there'll be a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. That's what we need. We need that sword. We need to be speaking the word to our circumstances. We think, I got to figure this out. And we're trying to come up with natural ways to defeat the enemy. And God's given us a supernatural way to defeat him. And that's taking his word, putting it in our mouth, and letting the devil will get the point. When you get the sword in your mouth and use it, it will have supernatural effect. And this is a key right here. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That's to run it, mull it over, think it and say it. And then you hear it. See, when you say it, you hear it, and it goes around and around. That's what meditation on the word is. You're speaking it, you're thinking it, you're hearing it, you speak it again. When? Meditate on it once a week, like Sunday morning before you come in. Is that what it says? Once in a great while. Look at how important this is. He's telling them, this is your key to success. Day and night. Day and night. You can do it. You can get a scripture in your heart while you're driving down the road, while you're taking a shower, when you're just, you know, there's so many times we could be using our mind in a productive way instead of just our thoughts wandering and maybe going to fear, going to doubt, going to anger, going to vengeance. And we could just catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, let me do something really productive with my mind, hook it to my mouth, and start speaking God's word over my circumstances. I tell you, it will change things in your life. Day and night, look at that. Then you'll make your way. See, we've been waiting for God to do stuff, and God has already done stuff on the cross for us, and he's waiting for us to now take his victory and begin to proclaim it over the circumstances. Push back the powers of darkness by putting his word. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. We talked about that last week, difference between good success and bad success. So putting God's word in our mouth will make our way prosper and give us success. Here's your next fill in the blank. The world is trying to form us into its image. God is trying to form us into his image. But I've found that God is a gentleman. He gives us free will. He never forces us to do anything. He speaks to us like through the preached word. A good part of what church is. Hopefully you're hearing a word every week that challenges you to change. Friends, good friends will challenge you to change. The Holy Spirit will challenge us to change. The world, though, is trying to form us into, and this, they do a good job. The devil's got all his mechanisms in place to try to conform us to the world's image, and God has put some mechanisms in place to conform us to his image. The question is, which one are we going to give more heed to, give more time to? Have you ever seen somebody that you had a relationship with that started going down the wrong path? Started making some changes in their life, and you go, whoa, that's not good. They're being conformed into the wrong image, aren't they? We have seen people that started to get their life together, and then good things start happening. You know, maybe you've known people that got saved and good changes take place. What's happened? They're being conformed to God's image. And every one of us has that going on in our life every day. There's a huge pull to be conformed to the world, and there's this just soft voice trying to help us be conformed to the image of God. Look at these two scriptures, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. So obviously that's a danger. If there's instruction in the word, a warning, don't do it. Watch out. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So con, the preposition or the first part of that word is with the world, formed with, and trans, against the world. So nobody drifts in a God-honoring direction, because the world is drifting you, pulling you, drawing you away from God toward its image. So it will take effort to go into the image of God, transformed, because it's against the flow of the world. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that's where that speaking that word comes in. It renews our mind. changes our thinking, brings us success, so that you may prove what the will of God is. God has a will for your life. And look at this. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. And back up to Romans 8:29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, speaking of God, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Well, predestined is not the same as premotioned. It means he chose a expected, a desired goal for us, but it's not premotion because you don't have to get there. But he desires for us to be conformed to the image of who? Jesus. So if we get the word in our mouth, we become more like Jesus. If all we speak out of our mouth is the world stuff, what the world's saying, what the world's doing, negative stuff, fear, we get conformed to that, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. So how does God speak and what does God speak? Romans chapter 4 gives us some insight into how God speaks. So we want to speak like God. How many would like to speak like God? Think like God. Act like God. Be transformed. Conformed to his image. Look at this, Romans 4:17. God gives life to the dead. That's some good stuff right there. You say, yeah, but that's God. That's not me. But remember, Jesus said in John 14:12, the same things I do, you shall do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. He wants us to carry on his work. Huh? None of us will be God, but we're supposed to be doing the things that he did. He healed people. He ministered to people. He helped people. He saved people. He delivered people. He set people free. That's the work of every Christian, not just people that are in ministry. All of us are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, who gives life to the dead, and look, calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, the devil will tell you you're crazy when you call things that don't exist as though they did, but see, that's the way God operates. There are things that you would like in your life, they don't exist, but you want them to. And he's saying, this is how God operates. He calls those things that do not exist as though they did. You see, so the devil will say, you're crazy, but your Bible says this is how God operates. If you only say what you have, you're not creating anything. If you only say what you don't have, I don't have this, nothing's being created. But if you begin to speak like God, now look, Rachel, our daughter Rachel, last year she graduated from University of Florida, and she wanted to go into nursing school. They have this advanced nursing program at UF. So she applied to get in, and she found out everybody in the country wants to get into this advanced nursing program at Shands because it's a real popular program. They said there's going to be probably 30,000 applicants, and we're going to pick 68 people out of 38. Now, you might think, well, just give up right there, right? I said, we're just going to pray and we're going to believe. And then she works at Bonefish Grill, and there was three people that work at Bonefish trying to get into that same program. And one of them was like a pre-med major, and she said, well, you'll never get in because, you know, your major was leadership and communication. They're not going to take you. And this other guy said, I've been trying to get in for 3 years. And he said, you're not. So, you know, there's all this. I said, we're just going to pray. Well, she got accepted into that program. Now, I did the math. 68 out of 30,000 is 1 out of 441 chances. Your odds are 1 in 441. That's not real good odds, right? They tell me today if you buy a ticket to the Powerball lottery, your chances are 1 in 300 million. That's the number that if you took pennies and lined them up from Seattle and put them side by side, they would stretch all the way to Miami. That's numbers. Can you imagine that many pennies? I mean, coming right down I-75. No, we're coming down 441 right here, right through the parking lot. There's these pennies. 300 million, and the odds are you take one of those pennies and put a red X on the bottom and put it down, and you can walk along that line of pennies, stop wherever you want, and pick one up. That's the odds that you'll pick up the penny with the red X on it. Not good odds, right? 1 in 300 million. But think about this. What are the odds that God could take nothing, or somebody could take nothing and turn it into something? You know what the odds are? 0. They have odds for everything. you know, like 1 in 10 billion that such and such would happen. But the odds that you could take nothing and turn it into something is zero. It's always zero because it's impossible. But you know what? That's what God did when he made the universe. He took nothing and turned it into something. But how did he do it? With words. So what looks like an impossibility, not even an improbability, not even 1 in 300 million. I mean, no chance in 300 million. But God, that's the way he operates. That's the kind of God odds God likes to operate in. Total impossibility. I don't know what you're facing today and what you're believing for. You might say it's impossible. It probably has some small measure of probability. But even if it has zero, that's where God thrives. That's the way God likes to operate. He calls those things that be not as though they were. That's the way God likes to. That's the way we have to. If in order to be like God, we have to call things that do not exist as though they did. We can't keep calling the things that are like they are. They always will be just like that. We got to move to a higher level. We got to move up onto God's plane and not consider it like we're trying to steal something or we're arrogant. We're just lining up with his word. We need to speak. That's how things operate. That's how things get done in the heavenly realm. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible, the Bible says. Jesus said, nothing will be impossible with God. We have to speak things into being. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. And start in verse 22, Steve Duke's favorite passage in the Bible. Let's look at this. Here's what happened. Here's the scene. Let me set the scene for you. Jesus with his disciples, is not too long before his death, he goes into the city, and he sees a fig tree that doesn't have any fruit on it, and he curses it, and then they go out. And then the next morning, they come in, and the fig tree's dead, and the disciples are amazed. But look at his response, what he says right here. So Jesus answered and said to them, in the response, they're amazed that something that he said happened. You see? It didn't register with them that when he said, I curse you, tree, that something would happen. So this is a very important lesson here. And what's the lesson? What did Jesus say? Have faith in God. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're looking at, it looks impossible. Jesus would say the same thing to you today. Have faith in God. That's your solution. That's what you need. That's the answer right there. Oh, I got to work harder. I got to do better. Okay, maybe we could improve in a lot of areas. But the things that we're believing for, they're not going to come through the natural. They're going to come through this supernatural realm. And now he's going to tell us how to have faith in God. How does it work? Right here, very clear instructions. Now watch this. So important, so vital to understanding the kingdom of God and how things operate. Have faith in God. Now watch this explanation, the next two verses. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, what? Says. There it is. Faith has to speak. Yes, you believe in your heart, but you have to speak. You have to be like God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How? He spoke. He said. It was dark. It was nothing. And he said, light be. Shoom! There was light. 186,000 miles per second. And it's still going. Scientists say the universe is expanding at the speed of light. Because God said, light be. And he never said, stop. It's still going. Universe. He spoke it. He spoke the earth into existence. Everything you can see came from nothing but words. God made it with his words. And he says, have faith in God. How does it work? He says, whoever says to his mountain, you got to start talking to your mountain. Everybody's got a mountain in between them and where they want to be. And the goal and the plan of God and the design of God, the hope and the dreams that you have. There will always be a Jordan that's impossible to cross. There's always be a mountain that's insurmountable. And he says, you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to speak to those things. Whoever says, here's how faith works. Here's how to be conformed to the... We got to watch what's coming out of our mouth. Am I the kind of person that goes around, oh, nothing ever works out for me? Now watch this. Watch how dangerous this is. Whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, he doesn't doubt in his heart. How do you get to that point? You keep saying it. You keep meditating what he told Joshua. Say it and hear it and think it and say it and hear it and think it and say it and hear it and think it. How do you know you're saying the right thing? The word of God. Find the word of God that applies to your situation. Speak scripture. Don't just make something up. Don't get it from somebody. Get it from God. Get it from his word. Put his word. That's what God told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Find a scripture. You want to be healed? Find a scripture on healing. Start speaking it. Well, I don't feel healed. Well, keep saying it. The first day you take medicine, are you totally healed? The doctor said take it 10 days, three times a day, but you set it on your bedside, and you call the doctor in a week and say the medicine's not working. Are you taking it three times a day? No, I put it by my bedside. It's not going to work. It don't work like that. So you can't just own a Bible. You can't know somebody that reads the Bible. You can't even just read the Bible. You got to get it in your head and in your heart and in your mouth and speak it, and it's got to become you. It's got to become a part of you. That word meditate, the root word is ruminate. Now, I own some cows. How many of you like cows? I like cows. Cows ruminate. Very important to this concept, because when a cow goes around eating, help me, they can eat pretty fast, too. They can, man, they can pull the grass down. Or you buy a roll of Pensacola or Bermuda, Coastal Bermuda, boy, they hammer that thing. But when they're pulling it, when they're putting it in, do you know what? If they stop there, they die. They won't live. They have to sit down, and they pull it back up, and that's the rumination, and then they chew it, and they break it down, and that's when it becomes fiber in their body. That's when it adds to them, gives them. That's what God's saying. If you just treat the word like the cow eating the grass, just pick it up and then run on. No, you got to meditate or ruminate, mull it, chew it. And how do you do it? You chew it in your head. You chew it in your mind. You speak it out of your mouth. It goes back into your ear. It goes back into your brain. And it's going around and around. Then it becomes fiber. Then it becomes calories. Then it becomes things that will cause you to grow. He's saying you got to get that. Whoever says, be removed and cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now watch it. That's a two-edged sword, because you'll have whatever you say. If you say, I never succeed, you'll have whatever you say. If you say, I'll never amount to anything, you'll have whatever you say. If you say nothing ever works out for me, you'll have whatever. Those are red words in your Bible, the words of Jesus. He says you'll have whatever you say, good or bad. I say, amen or oh my on that one. It can be an amen if I say the right things, or it's an oh my if I keep saying the wrong things. How many of you know somebody, every time they're just all in the mother grubs, everything's, how's things working out for them? See? But the thing is, we observe it in other people, we never see it in ourselves. All of us can do it. Every one of us can do it. And the only one who can fix this is you. I can't fix it for you. I'm not going to try to catch you in your words and take, until you get the revelation in your heart and say, I need to get my words lining up with the word of God, things are not going to change. But this is what Jesus said. Here's how you have faith. Have faith in God. Whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that whatever he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way. Death and life are in your tongue. Death. See, sometimes we speak death. This thing's going to kill me. Really? Do I really want to speak that? Or should I say, I'll make it by the power of God. God's going to get me through these. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We went to Los Angeles in 1981. I went in the early part of the year. We weren't married. We just kind of knew each other. And Rebecca came in the summer to be a full-time evangelist at UCLA. We were part of a team that planted a church. We had Pastor David Houston, and we were a support team to help him. And I think it was a short time after we got there, UCLA borders a little part of Los Angeles called Westwood Village. It's a place where the first-run theaters were, big theaters and restaurants and shops. And on Friday and Saturday night, they would close the whole area off to car traffic, and just people, thousands and thousands of people come down and just walk down the streets. We went out there as a team, the church team. We were planning a church at UCLA. It was well underway. And I remember we went out there, and Pastor David said, we're going to go out, and we're going to evangelize on the streets of Westwood. And we were talking to people, and then he just got the idea. He stood in this corner between Mario's Italian restaurant, Stan's Donut Shop, and two big theaters, and he started preaching. And All of a sudden, one of the theaters got out. Like 1,000 people come out, and they just, boom, surrounded him. There was like 200 or 300 people. I mean, a huge crowd. And they're just listening to him. I mean, he was on fire, man. I'm like, wow, David's on fire, man. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, he started losing his voice. He wasn't used to that, trying to project to this whole crowd. I could see his voice was getting hoarse. I knew his time was almost up. And all of a sudden, now I just went as a support team. I'm the head usher. I just do stuff. You know, I'm here to help you. I got a full-time job. I'm supporting them financially. I'm doing all the work. I'm here to help you, David. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, spoke to me, and he gave me some words to speak. David was like wrapping up in what he was talking about, and like the Holy Spirit said, say this. And my heart started to beat. I'm telling you, I had to go like this because I thought everybody would see my shirt going like this. I was so, man, I was hyperventilating. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at David. David's looking at me. He's running out of gas, and he kind of sputters to a halt and steps down and kind of looks around at the team like, is somebody going to pick up? And I had the word. I mean, I knew exactly what to say. It never happened to me like that before. I knew exactly what I needed to do, and I knew exactly what to say. And what do you think I did? Nothing. I did nothing. I stood there in total fear of man. Fear of speaking, fear of the crowd. What will people think? What will people say? What if I stutter? What if I do this? This is not my job. This is not what I was called to. I don't know how to do this. I've never been good speaking. You know, kind of like Moses talking to God, talking to himself. And I talked myself out of it. I knew. And the whole crowd just kind of stood there like, they knew, like the whole crowd knew I had the word. I was like, oh, man, they all know. They all know. I know. Don't look at my shirt beating like that. And they just kind of looked around. And then one by one, they started leaving, and the whole crowd dispersed. And I just stood there. I went home so dejected, so discouraged, so mad at myself. And I the biggest thing was I said, I let God down. You gave me, I knew the Holy Spirit just put words in my mouth. How good is that? I mean, it wasn't like I had to make something up. I knew what to do. I couldn't do it. I was so mad at myself. I let God down. You ever felt like that? You couldn't do it? And I was determined to change it. I said, I got to change this. And you know what came to me? So I got to start putting the word in my mouth. I've got to overcome my fear. I like what Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. You're afraid? Just do it afraid. But I couldn't do it. I was afraid. I couldn't do it afraid. I couldn't do it anyway. No way. But here's what I did. I went to school in the morning. I worked at night. I had these roommates. When I came home, I had an hour and a half every afternoon, 3:30 to 5 before I had to go to work. I had the house to myself. And I took my Bible and I found some scriptures about boldness, about courage. And I just, only two or three of them. And this might sound crazy to you, but for an hour and a half, I'd walk up and down my living room with that Bible in my hand and say those same verses over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes I'd shout it, and sometimes I'd sing it, sometimes I'd dance it, but I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and I kept saying it every day. An hour and a half, you say, you're crazy. Yeah, I was crazy. I just did that every day. I did that every day. I did that every day for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, I start thinking, maybe after 5 weeks, I think I can do it. After 6 weeks, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm bold as a lion. I kept saying that to myself. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. The lions aren't afraid of anything, are they? They say, I'm bold as a lion. I can do this. I can do it. What could happen? Oh, all kinds of bad things could happen. It doesn't matter. After 6 weeks, every day, I'm telling you, this that's all I did. That was my key to success. After 6 weeks, I didn't tell anybody. I found a chair on the side of the road, this little folding metal chair. I put it in the back of my car, and I drove down to Westwood Village on a Friday night. I waited till that theater got out, and I took that little chair, and I set it up under the awning at Stan's Donut Shop, where I could have a little echo right there. And I got up, and I have no idea what I said, but I did it. I got up, and I preached. I preached my first message, and people started coming, and the crowd was there, and they were looking at me. I don't know what it did for them, but I know what it did for me. And then it wasn't long after that, I was so excited. I conquered this thing. I started leading a team out there every Friday and Saturday night. Rebecca would come out there. We weren't even married. We just kind of knew each other through the church. I would take 12, 15 of us, and we'd go out there every Friday. And I'm telling you, miracles used to happen on the streets of Westwood Village. People get healed right in front of your eyes. People get delivered. People got saved. All because, now if I could have just said, well, that's not me, I'm not that person, I can't do that, I could have been completely defeated. But I'm going to tell you, the key to my success was getting the word in my mouth. That's simple, that's all it was, getting the word in my mouth and doing it religiously, faithfully, just every day. I kept saying it until somehow, how did it happen? I have no idea how it happened. I had enough courage to get up on that chair and preach the gospel. And, you know, I just kept going from there and took people out there. It's in your tongue. Look at this in James chapter 3. We all stumble in many ways. If you don't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So what did my tongue do? It directed my body to be able to get up on that chair and do that and speak, break the power of the enemy. If we put bits in the horses' mouths so they will obey us, we direct their entire body. Look at the ships. They are so great and are driven by strong winds. They're still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot is. So this is your next fill in the blank. We can change the course of our lives with our tongue. It says it's like a rudder. The rudder directs the ship. Whichever way you turn it, that's the way the ship goes. And that's what our tongue is. It's the rudder of our life. It determines the course of our life. How do you prosper? Working harder? Working smarter? Well, we'll come back to that. Let me ask you this. How do you get saved? Being a better person? By doing more? No, how do you get saved? Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. You get not of works, lest any man should boast. So how are you saved? By faith. How do you get healed? By working harder? By begging? By pleading? No? Matthew 9, Jesus met a man that was blind, and here's what he said. Do you believe I'm able to do this? He said, yes. He said, it'll be done to you according to what? Your good works. Because you go to church. Because you know the scripture. According to your faith. Let me submit to you. In 2017, most of us have desires, goals, financial goals. We want to do more. And you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Don't mean you just sit back and do nothing. But there's another thing to believe God to go to another level. I believe that our work supplies our needs, but our faith takes us into a level of prosperity and abundance. That's really what tithing is all about, is it just takes faith. That's why God asks us to do that, because it's a huge step of faith to think that you can survive on 10% less than what you make. Why does it work? Because it's demonstration of your faith on a regular basis. It takes faith to do that. Tithing takes faith. What does the blessing contain? Proverbs, okay, go back. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me, says the Lord, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? Blessing until it overflows, and I'll rebuke the devourer for you. Now look at Proverbs 10:22. It tells us what the blessing is. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. You say, well, that's evil. No. God made Abraham rich, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. Paul said, I know how to have an abundance and I know how to have lack. So you have to be able to deal with the time in between. But what God, in this year, in every area, I just want you to see, what are you believing for in 2017? It's going to take faith. Well, I'm going to say, it's going to take faith. It's not going to take working harder. It's going to take working in a specific way. It's going to take watching our mouth and what we say. This is a key. This is huge for your success, for my success in 2017, is going to be to put a guard over our mouth and watch what we say, because that's how faith works. That's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. How does that work? Whoever says, whatever he says will come to pass. If I want to have a better year, there's something just to think about at the beginning of the year. Making resolutions, we're deciding things to do and things not to do. I urge you to think about what's coming out of our mouths. How I can change the course of my life by changing the course of my words, finding scriptures, applying to my situation. put them in there. Let's make a fresh start. That's the, this series is called Fresh Start. I just want everybody to pray and just start thinking. I'm making a fresh start. What things do you need to cut off from last year? What bad associations, bad dreams, or bad words? What do I need to start doing this year? What new words do I need to start putting in? Say what you hope for. Let's start speaking our hope, not what we dread, not what we fear, not what we're afraid of, not what the devil is doing, but what God said about me. Start speaking what God's word says about me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By my God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Just pray right now. And I know that a lot of us, as we grew up, people said negative words over you. I'm sure that's happened to everybody in this room. Schoolmates, a teacher, a coach, a parent said something like, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never make it. You're this, you're that. In the name of Jesus, I break those lies of the devil off of God's people right now, because, Lord, you would never say that over any person, because you created each of us with a good plan and a good destiny for their lives. I break every lie of the devil off of God's people right now in Jesus' name. I just want you to pray and think, how much of what comes out of our mouth in a negative way was put there by somebody in the past? Break it. Just let it go. Just start speaking the word of God. Listen, I want you to know God is for you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Just think that right now. This is God's word. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. That's God's word. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father who art in heaven. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, who cares about you. Just think about that. Break every lie of the devil. Break every chain. Don't keep keeping those negative things by reinforcing it with your words. Just make a decision right now to speak positive things over your life. Positive things over your future. Are there things that you've been believing for years? They haven't come to pass. Think about my words. Think about our words. How much have I been reinforcing it? And how much have I been speaking against it with my words? Make a decision not to speak against the dream, but to speak for it, to speak the word of God. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you, everybody here. Just think about this for a second. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You go, I don't know. I think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Yeah, you can know. The Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you might know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? That means simply you make a decision to surrender your life to Christ. That's all. That's how it works. You ask him to forgive your sins. He forgives them and he comes, lives on the inside of you, makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, you know what, I did that in the past, but I want to make a fresh start today. I want to reaffirm that. I want to be sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to ask you in a moment to slip up your hand so I can lead you in a prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those applied to you and you want to make a fresh start, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a new day, a fresh start. You want to be sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven. Put your hands down. We'll lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People, praise that prayer. Meant business with God.